see it to believe it. The newest revolution in TV technology. Now at Harvey Norman. RGB. Changing the way you view. See colors that are brighter, deeper, and more vivid. Watch movies with ultra-realistic picture quality, making them more cinematic than ever before. Play smarter with real-time gaming optimization. Incredible clarity every time you press play. Built-in AI assistants such as Samsung's Vision AI, as well as Gemini and Copilot, can automatically adjust picture and sound quality and remove audio commentary, putting your focus on the game. Alongside content analysis, searches and more, your entertainment experience can be truly customized. Experience the new 2026 TV lineup at Harvey Norman today.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up, a look at the budget impact, Commonwealth Bank shares smashed, and inflation up again in the US. Details next. Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Wednesday, the 13th of May 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market fell, the S&P ASX 200 down 0.5%, mainly because of a 10% thumping of CommBank shares. We'll have the details with June Bain Liu from 10Cap, including her thoughts on how the federal budget will impact share market investors. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We go into more detail of the top consumer finance and market news stories covered during On The Money on SBS World News. But first, to the federal budget, the Treasurer says it's aimed at easing housing pressure and keeping the economy on track through a period of global uncertainty. Negative gearing will be limited to newly built homes, while the current 50% capital gains tax discount will be replaced with an inflation-linked model and a minimum 30% tax on gains for future investments. There will be some grandfathering, though. But does the tax reform go far enough, and in what position does it put the Australian economy in during a period of high inflation and rising interest rates? To find out, I spoke with Westpac economist Pat Bustamante. Pat, let's start with the overall economy. Does this budget add to inflationary pressures and to the possibility of even higher interest rates?
Thanks, Ricardo. I'll preface my answer by saying this was a big budget. I think the government's to be commended for making some tough decisions when it comes to taxing housing, and also the NDIS reforms that have been, floated to be implemented. What we see is it's really a tale of two horizons. So over the forward estimates or over the next 4 years, it's much the same as what the government's been doing over their last term in government. So payments to GDP, for instance, continue to increase. There was more spending on things like defence, healthcare. There were some packages for resilience as well. So that's all adding to the fiscal impulse. And if anything, we think that fiscal impulse remains slightly expansionary, and that reinforces our view that the Reserve Bank will be forced to hike two more times this year. We don't think that they'll be hiking in response to the budget or anything like that. This reinforces that the budget is, slightly supportive, and for the Reserve Bank to get inflation down, they will need to hike another couple of times this year.
What do you think it means for the cost of living? The government is forecasting real wages growth from next financial year, but we saw the wage price index from the ABS out today rise 3.3% over the year, which is below that headline rate of inflation at 4.6%.
Yep. And we've recently updated our own forecast as well. And we have the economy slowing quite significantly over this calendar year to just 1%. And on the back of a slowdown in household consumption, we've actually got consumption going backwards in per capita terms, in 2026, due to this income shock. So, the fuel price goes up, and that flows through to a whole bunch of other prices. So inflation's higher, and that eats away, as you say, in real incomes. The risk is the economy slows a bit more than what we expect. We won't get nominal wages growth. And if the war continues, to persist a bit longer than what we're forecasting at the moment, inflation remains high for longer. So the potential is for this income shock to kind of get bigger going forward. We're not expecting that at the moment. We really think 2026 calendar year will be the crunchy for households, and, you know, you're getting squeezed by higher inflation and higher interest rates. But we're hoping, you know, things return to back to normal next year, and real wages start to grow again. But, obviously that's predicated on, you know, things in the Middle East being resolved, you know, relatively quickly, and the economy, I guess maintaining some of its momentum and not slowing down even further than what we're expecting this year.
So we've got major reform to capital gains tax, moving to an indexation model, negative gearing to go but to remain for new properties. These will be grandfathered. What are the implications for the housing sector? It's a big question, but what do you think will happen?
That is the big question I've been asked a few times today. So if you take a step back, what the government's trying to do essentially is trying to equalise how much tax you pay on your capital account or in your investments and how much tax you pay on your labour income. So what they've done is, I guess, reduced a whole bunch of concessions on trust when it comes to negative gearing and that CGT discount, and that's going to increase the amount of tax you pay on your capital account on your investments. So what does that mean for, I guess, demand for investors, housing from investors? So we think that's going to slow down. You know, housing's going to become a relatively, I guess, less attractive investment vehicle going forward compared to what it was, say, before the budget. And, you know, the fall in demand is going to lead to, I guess, we kind of agree with the Treasury analysis that it's going to see prices, the growth in prices decelerate. They've got about 2% per annum in the next few years. We think that's probably roughly right. So that's kind of the primary impact, and that's intended, I guess, policy outcome. So by making, I guess, housing less attractive for, I guess, speculation or certain investors, you're reducing demand, and I guess you're giving other, you know, first home buyers, for instance, you know, more a greater probability of actually, you know, winning that auction and buying that house. So that's the primary impact we think will be on the housing market.
So that, along with tax changes to discretionary trusts, which redistributes income or capital to other beneficiaries, are said to assist with intergenerational equity, right? But do all these changes go far enough? Doesn't complete tax reform, for example, mean changes to the GST, for example, and a lowering of income tax?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, as I said, you know, by broadening the base through a reduction of these concessions, you're increasing the tax on the capital account that you know, investors earn. But usually when you think of tax reform, when you broaden the base, you can reduce the rate that applies to your income tax. And that was a surprise, I think, last night. So we did get the worker tax offset, and that's a $250 offset for only workers on an annual basis going forward, on an ongoing basis. But that, you know, that's going to get chewed away by inflation and bracket creep pretty quickly. So I guess that was a big surprise. So when you think about a package of tax reform, you can kind of broaden the base and reduce the rate. So we didn't see that second part. The Treasurer today said he's got that tax offset built in permanently into the tax system, so he can calibrate that going forward if needed. So potentially we could get that second part of that reform going forward in future updates. But for us, yeah, that was the big surprise. Usually kind of, you know, you want to, you have essentially losers, but you want to have winners as well, and we didn't see that much on the winners' side.
What about productivity? Is it positive for productivity?
So I think for me that was the kind of standout. I think the productivity package was quite good, and a lot of these reforms I think are long overdue. So trying to harmonise, for instance, licensing agreements across the states. You know, builder in New South Wales shouldn't have to get a new license if he wants to build a house in Queensland, for instance. So those sorts of arrangements, harmonising the payroll tax administration, for instance, I think they're long overdue. And if we, you know, actually kind of get these reforms in place, harmonise these arrangements, it lead to kind of a free flow of capital and labour, and that increases kind of your efficiency and productivity. So some of these measures are quite good. They're not the big kind of bang kind of reform that, you know, grab the spotlight, But a lot of these smaller reforms that reduce red tape, speed up approvals, for instance, they're really going to move the dial if they're already implemented. So we were quite happy with the productivity package. But the key will be in the follow through and the full implementation. So hopefully we see that at the next little while.
Final question, and in wrapping up, how would you rate the budget and in what position does it leave the economy?
So as I said when we started, I think the government's to be commended for making some pretty tough decisions in last night's budget. I think it'll be kind of a memorable one, you know, similar to the infamous 2014-15 budget. But if they view this as a bit of a down payment on reform and you know, it's the first step and you get kind of broader tax reform going forward, potentially through, you know, addressing bracket creep on a permanent basis. I think this kind of leaves the economy in a good spot. So fiscal policy or the budget will be in a better spot. Like we saw over the medium term, the fiscal deficit actually turns into a surplus. So the fiscal position's better. There was some more money to be invested in fuel security, so it leaves us a bit more resilient as well to global shocks, which you know, going forward, it's likely to be more supply-side shocks coming from the global economy. So that's all kind of positive. I think the key is implementation. So a lot of these measures, for instance, NDIS, are quite big. You know, some political parties have suggested they're not going to support legislation required to implement these measures. So it's really going to hinge on the follow through. But if we can get these reforms implemented and if it's kind of the first step in the broader kind of reform agenda, I think it's going to put us in good stead to kind of face a more uncertain global economy.
See it to believe it. The newest revolution in TV technology. Now at Harvey Norman. RGB. Changing the way you view. See colours that are brighter, deeper and more vivid. Watch movies with ultra-realistic picture quality, making them more cinematic than ever before. Play smarter with real-time gaming optimization. Incredible clarity every time you press play. Built-in AI assistants such as Samsung's Vision AI, as well as Gemini and Copilot, can automatically adjust picture and sound quality and remove audio commentary, putting your focus on the game. Alongside content analysis, searches and more, your entertainment experience can be truly customized. Experience the new 2026 TV lineup at Harvey Norman today. SBS unearthed the secret pasts of eight famous Australians.
This is a big moment.
In a brand new season.
Oh my God, I've been dying for this.
Who do you think you are? Stream now on SBS On Demand.
That's Westpac senior economist Pat Bustamante there. Let's take a closer look at the Australian share market now, which fell 0.5%, driven lower by the banks. In fact, the financial sector was the only one of the 11 on the ASX 200 to close lower. Some investors are worried budget changes to capital gains tax and negative gearing will impact investor loan growth, which incidentally fell 3.3% in the March quarter. According to the ABS, $25 billion wiped from the Commonwealth Bank, shares falling 10.4% today, its biggest fall on record. Its $2.7 billion quarterly cash profit also missed expectations today. Property stocks like PEXA and REA Group also declined. So for a look at all the market action, including what the budget means for share market investors, I spoke with Junbei Liu, portfolio manager at TenCap. Junbei, firstly, the tax implications for share market investors. We've seen the CGT changes, but negative gearing remains the same. Do you see it having an influence on the market?
Look, directionally for the market, not so much. However, for some sectors, it does have bigger impact. Now, we already seen the sectors that such as the banks or the property space or anything to do with, you know, residential property have taken bit of hit. The banks in particular today, you know, has fallen quite a bit on potential implication for future investor, more property investor growth.
But doesn't it mean there may be some people switching from property investment as a wealth creation tool to shares?
Yeah, look, this is actually what's really interesting and very exciting for the equity market, right? So for the investors that can no longer invest in some of those property space, they may well invest into the share market or, you know, venture capital or other investment option, alternative investment options. At the same time, also the changes in the tax is now probably will forcing people to put more money into the superannuation or self-managed superannuation, and that means, you know, a lot of that money will then go into alternative investment like the share market and others.
Will there be any sectors that will benefit from this? I mean, we've already mentioned those that will be hit. We saw the banks and property stocks being hit today.
Absolutely. So we are actually have already started seeing quite a bit of impact or positive impact on companies such as Generation Development. They provide a lot of retirement income products. We've seen positive impact on Challenger, for example, because they've been the largest, retirement income product that's coming through. And that's all the beneficiary of it. We're also seeing a lot more interest now coming through in the platform businesses like Hub and NetWealth. Because these companies, will see increased demand for their for the self-managed super fund, and then which then they need to use these company as a platform to invest. So we definitely see impact coming through for those. There's one other area that actually hasn't been talked about all that much is actually the novated lease. That sector, we're seeing huge improvement in terms of the share price reaction. In fact, the share price actually has been rallying into this. So a company like Smart Group, company like the Macmillan Shakespeare. So all of these companies, because novated lease has a big skew towards electric vehicle, because of the higher oil prices, we're already seeing that there's a huge demand for novated lease into electric vehicle, and the government has now come out in this budget and saying that they're going to extend the discount for the fringe benefit tax for novated lease for 12 months before they start phasing out a little bit. But, even by in a few years' time, it will still be a 25% discount even for more expensive, EV. So these companies are huge beneficiary. They just seeing so much demand going into the EV space.
We mentioned the banks earlier. There was some company news today. The Commonwealth Bank shares tumbled to a 3-month low despite a $2.7 billion cash profit, which was up 4% in the March quarter, but it's had to lift its bad debt buffers because of economic uncertainty. How are the banks now looking in this environment, and what are some of the challenges they're facing?
Yeah, look, the banks are looking just way too expensive in this environment. Banks was going through a benign economic activity environment. Their, earnings were doing pretty well. Property mortgage loan growth was pretty good, and the bad debt is not very high. But now in the last few weeks, we actually heard from all the banks that, they're a little bit worried about the economy. We're seeing a bit of softness come through, the consumer, the mortgage sector, even the small businesses end. So all of the banks have now lifted their provision, which means they think the economy will get a little bit worse, so there will be a little bit higher bad debt to come through in the future years. So you've seen that coming through, and that certainly makes the investor quite worried, and particularly combined with the budget, potentially we have a whole lot less investors in the property market. That means loan growth will be significantly less than expected. Remember, at the moment 40% of the new loan growth is from investor base. So, that may, halve or reduce significantly. So, look, there's a lot of worry there, and the banks are just too expensive at this stage.
Market's broadly down, but is it fair to say that the main moves on the share market today reflect the US, where inflation came in hotter than expected? What are the implications?
Yeah, look, the implication is actually happening everywhere around the world, is that the potentially, this inflation becomes more sticky. We all thought the inflation would have been, just oil related, but now we're seeing because the Strait or the Iran war is still ongoing and with no end in sight, we are seeing the companies pushing through price increases across almost every sector. Here in Australia, we're seeing it, and there in the US as well. So now the problem is that even though Federal Reserve wanted to come cut rates previously because the economy was slowing down. And now they couldn't because the inflation is running red hot. And same here in Australia, where we already have an inflation problem before the war. Now we're going to have prices rising rapidly. So look, I think that's very concerning for consumer facing companies, for cyclical economic sensitive companies. Simply means that our slowdown is ahead of us.
And so with that in mind, what are you telling your clients right now?
Look, I'm telling my clients are going to resources company is very well positioned, particularly those with the commodity exposure that has a green metal exposure. There's so much demand for copper in the world, and you are at this stage they are looking very, very good value. So that space looks really good. And otherwise, there is also another little theme looks interesting, which is electrification. You want to be exposed to companies that actually provide services to help electrify our entire economy, whether it's the engineers to build all these grids, or whether it's the company that's building the data centers. So these businesses are looking very, very strong.
That's Junbo Liu, lead portfolio manager at TenCap, and she wraps up the podcast for this Wednesday. Give it a like and a review, subscribe if you enjoy it, and don't forget you can watch On the Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market close every weekday, and I'll catch you then.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
See it to believe it. The newest revolution in TV technology. Now at Harvey Norman. RGB. Changing the way you view. See colours that are brighter, deeper and more vivid. Watch movies with ultra-realistic picture quality, making them more cinematic than ever before. Play smarter with real-time gaming optimization. Incredible clarity every time you press play. Built-in AI assistants such as Samsung's Vision AI, as well as Gemini and Copilot, can automatically adjust picture and sound quality and remove audio commentary, putting your focus on the game. Alongside content analysis, searches and more, your entertainment experience can be truly customized. Experience the new 2026 TV lineup at Harvey Norman today. Go!